Hello and welcome to Ride Home Review. I'm Oliver.
And I'm Susan.
And tonight we saw Beauty and the Beast, the musical.
We did. The Disney theatrical production has hit Brisbane. I think that we should start off with all of the good things first.
Look, Disney theatrical has money. And as such, they can spend money.
And they use it to amazing, amazing effect with so much impact that you cannot help but be blown away with some of the things that they manage to do on stage. It is just a spectacle for young and old. Part of what I enjoyed more than anything was the reaction of the small children around us. And they're chortling and they're giggling and their responses. It was just so beautiful to see it through their child eyes, to be that they were just being blown away because there are things there, like Chip, our little cup, that's just a head.
It's just a head and a keycup, and it is spectacularly well done. And there is a magic and there is a liveness to this production of Beauty and the Beast. It feels like the movie comes to life.
It does. And if you look at some of the tricks, some of the lighting, some of the staging, how they put together the castle, how they do lightning, how they do wolves, how they do all of those things, how they do the beast costume change in, you know, a blink of an eye and a flash of a light. Just extraordinary.
It is extraordinarily well considered. And I will say, for some neurodivergent things, there is some flashing lights over the audience. There are some strobes. So if you do have light-sensitive autistic people around, that is something to consider.
I agree. And it's loud, but not terribly loud. But it is absolutely the most jaw-dropping spectacle that I have seen for a long time. And I have to say, the 12 minutes, be our guest towards the end of Act 1.
I think it's closer to 22, I thought they said.
22, was it? Whatever it was long, and it was phenomenal, including what I would say is basically synchronized swimming on stage without the water, with the camera above and these choreographed like a kaleidoscope of bodies forming patterns, was just so beautiful that it is hard to describe without seeing it. And then like a confetti gun. Who uses a confetti gun in Act 1? Seriously.
Look, yes. And look, we do need to talk about the plot.
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm nearly there. One more thing to say. I have never before also seen a standing ovation or close to it in the first act.
You hear about these things in some of the big Broadway shows, that there's a standing ovation for a big number in Act 1. And
oh, look, I reckon the end of Act 1 of Joseph, you know, the Go, Go, Go Joseph, could get a standing ovation. But just to be part of that tonight, I thought, was just beautiful. That there's a lot of money used, and it's used to really good effect.
And look, the cast across the board was very strong.
Great ensemble piece. The dancers, the singers.
But even our leads, Brendan Xavier as the Beast, brought a kind of almost childlikeness.
There was a tragedy and a sadness to his Beast.
And that his anger, well, there, was definitely there, and we'll get to that more in the plot part of it. But it was beautiful. He seemed like a child that had been cursed.
Mm. And Belle, our beauty.
Shabiri Kandahai, which I'm I mispronounced.
Sorry, Belle, probably got that really butchered.
I mean, I will celebrate the fact that we have a woman of colour as Belle.
Yeah, and she was so good, and she's obviously stunningly beautiful and talented, but also managed to pull off that bookish girl next door, the outcast of the village, while at the same time being our beauty, which is, you know, to be both those things, to be the most stunning girl in the village but also girl average, is quite a feat.
Jackson Head as Gaston was very
villainous
and had this kind of bravado masculinity that I found quite...
Yeah, he was menacing. He was exactly what he needed to be.
Rowan Brown as Lumiere, Gareth Jacobs as Cogworth, Jade Westerby as Mrs. Potts, Nick Cox as LeFou. The cast across the board was stunning.
And also, of course, the theatricalness of the costumes, the lighting, the sound, and the spectacle of bringing the castle together, bringing the woods together, bringing the village together, and then pulling it apart in front of your eyes and reassembling it. Just amazing. And our children as Chip. Oh, my goodness. I think we may have had Crew. Maybe James. They're both gorgeous little boys.
Yes, we either saw Crew William York Lee or James Mitchell. We're not sure which, a small little blonde child.
A small little adorable thing that I just wanted to squidge. But he was hiding in a table at the time as a teacup. If you know the Disney...
Plot.
If you know the Disney movie, you know what is going to happen on stage. It's pretty much scene by scene, beat by beat.
And look, the plot... is what it is. It has always been a story of a woman who gets trapped by a beast and then falls in love because beauty is only ever skin deep, and beauty is in the eye of goes beyond skin deep and all those kind of
the beholder. I mean, I think that with modern adult eyes, you can say, "Oh, we've got a bit of coercive control. We've got a bit of domestic violence. We've got a," you know, there are bits. If you unpack what's actually going on there, that are pretty unpleasant. But it is also the moral of the story is don't judge a book by its cover. That people are more than what we see on the outside, and beauty is only skin deep. So when through a child's eye, it's actually a beautiful tale of acceptance. Through adult eyes, it's still that, but with a few problems.
And I think if we can kind of try to look at this show as a gateway drug to the theatre, because for so many kids, this will be the first musical that they see.
Well, probably the first time they've been in a big fat theatre. We saw a child using a booster seat to... hold his popcorn, which was really quite cute on the way back from...
Yes, but the point is that a show like this can create a lifelong love of theatre.
I agree. I was thinking of the children that I took to Bluey recently, which was age-appropriate for them. But the older of those children, who's now three, I think you could very easily, if not now, next time around... move from something like Bluey on stage to something like Beauty and the Beast, then to The Lion King or whatever it be, and next thing they're seeing the importance of being earnest or The Inheritance or something. That if you get a child early and show them the magic that theatre can be, you will, I believe, create an audience for life.
And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to go on to be performers.
Doesn't even necessarily mean that every one of them is ever going to go into a theatre again. But many of them will. That if you start them young, if you can expose them to the possibility of this other dimension, many of them will go on to love the theatre.
And
it may only be big musicals that they ever love. It may not.
And if we invest in every level of theatre so that the person who might not be able to afford to see Disney theatricals Beauty and the Beast can find their way in, the theatre industry and the type of art that we are seeing is going to evolve and change. And look, Disney's Beauty and the Beast is amazingly beautiful.
It is. It's like a great big... hug.
It feels like the movie. Mm. It has this childhood nostalgia of the film.
Look, and I will recall you at 18 months when I first took you to your first Wiggles live in concert.
Yeah.
I know that you were 18 months because once you're 18 months, you had to pay for
a ticket.
Your own ticket like that. And rather than say you're 17 months and 3 weeks, I told the truth and bought a ticket. But the look on your face when these characters that you'd seen in the television that you love were there was just, you could see your little head going, mind blown. It was like, oh my God. And you just kept pointing at Dorothy and going, doo doo, because you couldn't say that. But anyway, you were almost too transfixed to dance and do what you did at home because you were taken to a place of amazement.
And that's what a show like this can do.
Yep.
So when it comes to a rating, it's really hard for me as a grown adult.
Are you?
Okay, a slightly more...
A person who, according to...
Medical science.
Is 26.
Yes. Mm. The point being, as a grown adult, it's very easy for me to say, oh, it's all bells and whistles and there's no heart underneath, or that the plot is dated and all those kind of cynical things. But I think for the audience that this show matters for and for its target, it is high distinction, no question.
I agree with that. And also, I still have the cackling, giggling sounds of the children around us and their gasps in awe, and the adults jumping to their feet to give it a standing ovation, that both ends were just transfixed by the beauty of Beauty and the Beast. And, yeah, look, we've discussed why some of that might be a bit problematic, but the overall spell that was cast on the audience allows me to overlook that and also give it a high distinction.
And we'll be back tomorrow for the Wolves.
Oh, yes. And then Gaslight on Thursday.
We don't have Gaslight on Thursday.
Are you not going to gaslight me again? I'm not going to fall for that again.
I'm going to do that same joke tomorrow and it will
still not be funny.
Yeah, I know.
Good night, audience member.
Bye.